You know when God prompts you to get up in the middle of the night and pray? Be obedient. Glory to God. I want to thank all who have ministered while my wife and I were gone. I understand you had awesome services, awesome preaching. And it's a sign of a great church, because it's not built on a personality or a person. When we went for a loan for our addition, the bank was concerned because I am so very, very old. In fact, they insisted that I have a large life insurance policy, because if I pass away, they're thinking that, well, we'll just not continue. But you know, there's somebody who's in charge of this church. This is not my church. Amen. Collectively, God has placed each and every one of us in this place for a purpose. There's no little eyes in this church or big me's. It's all of us collectively together, being the body fitly joined together as God would have us to. Hallelujah. So would you stand with me? I want to invite Brother Putnam to this pulpit. I'm going to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. I was just moved by the message this morning. I've had the privilege to do two conferences in Korea. And the unique thing about being in Korea is you will never walk into their church with your shoes on. Everyone takes their shoes off. And behind the pulpit, there's a pillow. And the preacher stands on the pillow in order to preach the Word of God. I thought this morning an appropriate title would be, "If the Shoe Fits, Take It Off and Give It to Somebody." And be obedient. Samuel said, "It's better to obey than it is to sacrifice." I've been in Mexico City where I saw ladies crawl on their knees on cobblestone streets with flowers in their arms or balloons in order to sacrifice to God. Bloody knees. I'm telling you, they were hurting by the time they got to the church blocks away. I've been in Rome where there's a staircase, a wooden staircase of 100 steps. And when we got there, there were probably 100 people who were crawling up on those wooden stairs on their knees, and every step they would pray. And they thought that their pain and their suffering was something that God would be well pleased with. God's not pleased with pain and suffering. He's pleased with obedience. Glory to God. And I'll tell you what, if you obey God, you will receive immediate results. Glory to God. So I'm looking forward to the message. I'm wondering if, you know, we get excited about worship, but we need to be just as excited about the Word of God. I'm not sure if Brother Putnam was there, but in 1980, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, 1980, I went to the World Conference in Jerusalem, and it was a large auditorium of saints from all over the world. I remember one man standing up with a shirt, and it had bullet holes in it, but it never touched the person who was shot at. It was in a communist country, and in worship service, soldiers came in with machine guns and shot. And the bullets hit the shirt and put holes in it, but nothing ever happened to them. But the thing that was so outstanding is that there was a little black man, and during the preaching, he would get up and he would dance around the entire sanctuary because he was so touched by the Word of God. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference in your life. There are some I've heard say, well, I love that worship. And then they go out in a hallway someplace and talk to their friends. And they're not worried about the word. Or vice versa. They're there just to get the word and not the worship. There's a combination of things that really make a difference in our life. Hallelujah. David brought in the ark that had the Ten Commandments with worship and dancing. We've done our part. And now it's time for God to give us the things that we need. And don't be shocked that God speaks to your heart tonight through the preaching of God's word. Brother Putnam, would you come?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy, isn't he? Amen. It is good to be back at Apostolic Faith Church on Sunday night. Amen. You know, it used to be that Sister Putnam was still teaching school, and I usually could only come in the mornings, and we'd have to scurry home so she could get a good night's sleep so she could teach all those hoodlums the next day. But thank God she finally retired. Yeah. Heard about a little 5-year-old that one time wrote a little memoir that says, my Nana and Papa got retarded and moved to Florida. But she didn't get retarded. She just retired. But I'm glad that my wife's with me tonight. And I am. And I'm always, Sister Putnam and I both are always glad to fellowship with the Schumachers. Amen. Great men, great man, and great woman of God. And it's quite obvious in the ministry that they have been faithful to these over 3 decades. That God has certainly blessed, and you are a part of a great ministry. Amen. You know that. And I do apologize that I was not able to be here for your dedication, and that was because I was already previously engaged in South Dakota that weekend a whole year ago. And your pastor didn't ask me when I, like, you know, so, you know, all that. So. But I really did want to be here. But thank God for all of you and your faithfulness. Amen. And thank you, Sister White, for she brought me tonight slippers. And they don't fit. But thank you. That's very kind of you. Amen. Tonight, I'd like for you to turn to Psalms chapter 80. And then I'd like for you to turn to the prophet Daniel chapter 10. And finally ended up in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians, the letter to the church at Ephesus in chapter 6. And, you know, I mentioned this morning, it's interesting how you get messages or how God works. I certainly did not plan on preaching this weekend. But coming out of the restaurant this afternoon, this message flashed in my mind. When I got back to the hotel, I opened up my iPad and to several messages that, of course, I carry with me on the iPad. And almost immediately, this message came to the front. And it's not alphabetical in my iPad. Unfortunately, I don't know. I get these blank spaces all over the place. But tonight, in Psalm 80 and verse 17, it says, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Well, we know who sits at the right hand of the Spirit, which means he's all powerful. And he is the Son of Man whom God made strong, the Spirit of God made strong for himself. Daniel, the 10th chapter and the 19th verse says, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Everybody say, be strong. Say it again. Say it like you mean it. Amen. That's kind of a response I like right there. Yea, be strong. Say it again. And when he had spoken unto me, Daniel says, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And then finally in the New Testament, the letter to the church at Ephesus in the 6th chapter, and I'd like you to read this verse with me. It's in the 10th verse. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's read it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, if there's anything that I've learned in these last 42 years in living for God, is that I am nothing and he is everything. That is the bottom line. He is our strength. He is our ever-present help in the time of need. He is the lily of every one of our valleys. He is the rose of Sharon of every one of our mountaintops. He is our all in all. Would you agree with that? In your hearing tonight, and listen carefully, I want to speak to you tonight on the strong men up front. The strong men up front. Would you put your Bibles down and would you lift up your hands? Amen. And let's ask God, let's ask the Spirit of the Lord to speak to us tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the privilege, God, to be here and for whatever purpose, God, that you want this message preached tonight. I pray that you will accomplish it. I know that you have already confirmed it now twice tonight, Father. And so I have great confidence, God, not in myself, but in you, that God, that this is, dear Lord God, the mail that you want, dear Lord Jesus, this church to receive tonight. And I give you all honor and glory and praise, and to you be all power and glory. In the name that is all above and beyond every name. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Now why don't you clap your hands? And why don't you shout about the goodness of Almighty God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and just say, strong men are needed up front. And you may be seated. I want to make a very profound statement as I begin this message this evening. You know, the scripture tells us in the very first book of the Bible, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I do not believe in evolution. I do not believe that we are advanced primates. Though I do every once in a while feel like itching and scratching and all that kind of thing. But brothers and sisters, if you're ready for this statement, there is a difference between men and women. And there is a lot more differences than just the physical makeup of our bodies. Almighty God has made us different. In the verse that we just read, it says, male and female created he them. And then it says, and he blessed them, and he called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Even though God made men and women different in physical ways, he still chose to look at this masterpiece couple of Eden as one. For it says, and God called their name Adam. And we know that God's perfect plan for male and female is that they should be one flesh. Amen. Therefore shall a man, the Bible says, leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And throughout the Bible we read how husbands and wives are to conduct themselves in this sacred oneness relationship. Now, if you don't mind tonight, it's not going to be evangelistic preaching, but I hope it's going to be some preaching here tonight. Because every husband and wife on this planet should be a complement one to the other. What you and I lack as men, our wives will usually compensate for, and vice versa. Amen. I mean, my wife, she is geographically impaired. I may sleep in the hall tonight in the hotel, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. When we walk out, she is getting better, but when we walk out of a hotel room, I play a little game. The game is, which way's the elevator? Now, she walked into that room with me, but when we walk out, she don't have the foggiest idea of which way to go. And a few years back, I was having some difficulties in my legs, and I was in a wheelchair, and we went to Tampa General Conference. I went in a wheelchair. Matter of fact, your pastor got a great deal of pleasure pushing me around in that city. We were staying on the 23rd floor of the hotel, and I forget the room number, but we went there, and one night coming back from a service, the elevator, when they opened it up, was absolutely full. There was only room for one wheelchair and one man in that wheelchair and not my wife. So she said, honey, you just go on up and I'll be there. I knew as soon as the door shut that we might be in trouble. So I get up to the 23rd floor, I wheel myself out, am waiting a little bit, and the elevator doesn't come, and so I wheel myself down to the room, and I take my key out, and I unlock the door. I am able to walk. It wasn't that I wasn't able to walk, and so I got out of the wheelchair and kind of pushed the wheelchair in, and I am waiting and waiting and waiting. And I'm thinking, well, she's ran into somebody that she knows, and she's talking to them, and I'm waiting and waiting. And finally, I hear the key and the doorbell, and I said, where have you been? She said, don't ask. I said, no, what? Don't ask. I said, oh, come on, tell me. Well, she forgot what floor we were on. And she got off at the 22nd floor. And, of course, every floor of a hotel looks exactly alike except for the number, the first number of the room, right? And so she goes to the room that she thought was ours, and there's a do not disturb sign on that room. And she is convinced now that there is somebody in our room. I said, honey, nobody saw you, did they? But then on the other hand, I've reached a point, you know, where my hearing isn't as good as it used to be. And she is definitely compensating for me because I'm hearing a lot of things that are never even being said today. Can I get a witness from somebody? But we are to compliment one another. We are to help one another. Can somebody say amen? In our search of the Word of God, we find that each gender of a married couple takes on different roles to produce the strength of our oneness in marriage. For example, in that book of Ephesians, and many of us who have been in the church a while would know this, it tells us in chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen? Most men love that scripture. Most men that aren't saved love that scripture. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Amen. I tell men a lot, men, if you're having disagreement with your wife, you know what you need to do? You need to go into the bathroom, shut the door, look yourself in the mirror and say, you're the problem. Why? Because, well, you don't know my wife. Well, that may be true. But you know what? If we are the Savior of the body in representing Jesus Christ in the home, then we've got to also take some responsibility of our imperfection of our own personality and our own self. Oh, I think somebody ought to say amen. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members. Everybody say, I'm a member. Say it again. I'm a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So what God is trying to tell us in his word and through the Apostle Paul is that the church is really to mirror what it is about Christ and the actual church in the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? You see, we must understand that there is more to this male-female relationship than just meets the physical eye. There is also a definite spiritual, supernatural symbolism that's involved. Matter of fact, according to Scripture, the woman's role is that of submission and reverence. And the man's role is that of love and protection and salvation. The scripture states that the women are to be honored as the weaker vessel. Doesn't say they are weaker vessels, but they are to be honored as the weaker vessel. Somebody say amen. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. My friend, if you're not treating your wife right as a brother in Christ, amen, you are hindering your own prayers. If things are not going well in your home, it could be because you're not honoring your wife. Amen. And so our divine creator of male and female has logically made man. If women are to be honored as the weaker vessel, then man was to be made the stronger vessel. And if there is anything that we need in this hour of spiritual darkness, it is strong men who know their spiritual responsibilities and are willing to fulfill them in their service to God and to their wife and their children and family. Somebody ought to clap their hands. Amen. We need all of the strong men in the front. So how does the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, expect men to be strong? Almost immediately, we as men begin thinking of our physical brawn and muscle. It's amazing to me that in most fitness places, they line it with mirrors. That is the last thing I would line it with. Matter of fact, I decided that I was just going to put tape it right onto our mirror, this muscular-looking guy, and I just have to put my chin in the right spot, and there I am. But as we look deeper into the scriptures, we find that our strength as men is far greater than anything that we can produce of ourselves in development of our physical bodies. So what type of strength am I talking about here this evening? The scripture tells us, in speaking of the purpose of the Old Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We understand that the Old Testament was the schoolmaster to bring us into the New Testament. Those things that happened before the cross were written for our admonition, amen, to be spiritually empowered after the cross. So let's consider this evening the roles that God set forth in the first visual church structure, that being the tabernacle in the wilderness. First, please understand that God specifically gave Moses the instructions of how he wanted this tabernacle made. How many of you still remember that you're created by God? God hasn't made any mistakes, my friend. Unless there's been some foul up in a mutation or something like that, we're born with two arms and two legs and two eyes and two ears and two nose nostrils. Amen. And you know, our nose isn't over here and our eyes aren't in the back of our head. We all are made in the image of Almighty God. And that image showed up in a Bethlehem manger, and his name is Jesus Christ. And just as God created man in his own image, God gave to Moses how he wanted that first visual tabernacle to be made. He told them of what type of building materials to use. He shared its size and shape and its furniture that was to be placed in there down to the most minute detail. The Lord was very precise of how he wanted his tabernacle. He was very specific for this tabernacle plan would be the very place where he would meet with man. He was precise in how it should look and how it should be. And also, please understand, church, that the Lord was just as precise as to how his priesthood would minister in the tabernacle. The Almighty was precise in how its priesthood and their garments would be, and how its ceremonies and sacrifices would take place. And it would be, and how that they would function, and how that they were to be performed. But please understand and comprehend what our Lord was trying to show us in this tabernacle plan. The high priest represented who? It represented Jesus Christ, right? Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that he is our high priest. Amen? Matter of fact, Hebrews 4 and 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. How many knows he's a great high priest? How many knows that we can go to him with anything that we have need of? That is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, everybody say all points, tempted as we are and yet without sin. So we recognize that Christ represented, or that high priest was the representation of what Christ would be. But we also see that the high priest of the Old Testament ministered at the altar, the Ark of the Covenant. That piece of sanctified furniture and its contents also represented who? Because when you look at that Ark of the Covenant, you recognize on top of it was a mercy seat. Well, who is our mercy seat? Who was or represents the Word of God that was on the tablets on the inside? He is the Word of God made flesh. We represent that we see Aaron's rod that budded in there. Who is the resurrection and the life? And we see the coffer of the manna that is inside there that they ate in the wilderness. He is our bread of life. So we see that the furniture itself also represented Jesus Christ. The high priest that ministered at these different stations, you look at the golden candlestick. Is that not a representation of Christ, who is the light of the world? You look at the altar of incense, amen, where indeed was not Jesus the representation that prayed and showed us how we should pray? Amen, our heavenly Father, which art in heaven, did he not give us the detailed outline of how it should be done? And was he not also that table of showbread that had the loaves of unleavened bread that once again shows that he is the bread of life? Amen. It had all of those things in there. And yet, with the mercy seat and everything, the point that I'm trying to make is that both the priesthood and the Ark of the Covenant both represented Christ. But each had a particular role and responsibility to perform. Jesus said of himself in Matthew 12 and 6, he said, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. The Ark of the Covenant was a box fashioned and made by man's hand. It was submitted to the design and the purpose of God for the will of God. But the priest that represented the body of Christ, who ministered at that Ark of the Covenant, was given a role and purpose greater than the whole temple itself. What the Lord was trying to show to all of us in the New Testament is that the stronger was in leading in worship the high priest, which involved the sacrifices and the ceremonies performed. Now, if you put it all together, the Lord was trying to show us in the Old Testament ceremonial law about the oneness relationship of Himself expressed in the New Testament through a husband and a wife, as the Scripture points out that this is the great mystery. For you see, we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. And for that cause, you see, as the high priest that represented the greater than the whole temple itself, he was the one that ministered upon. Amen. If I can put it in this, they were both indeed. There would have been no need for a high priest if there wasn't an Ark of the Covenant. There would have been no need for a high priest if there wasn't a golden candlestick or an altar of incense. There would have been no need for a high priest if there wasn't, amen, those other pieces of furniture. But one of them represented the strength of the minister. The other represented as weaker vessels of that which was ministered upon. Am I making sense to you tonight? So consequently, it was the oneness of both the stronger and as the weaker vessels, amen, represented in the temple in the Old Testament. Now let me scripturally prove this to you. The weaker element of the tabernacle plan was that physical Ark of the Covenant. It was made and fashioned. It was submitted. Everybody say submitted. According to the word of God as given to Moses. To the extent that over the mercy seat where the seraphims or the angels that were in the, were the protectors of God's holiness. There is a connection here, men. There is a connection here, sister, where Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes to the church in Corinth. He said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prays or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as the image and the glory of Almighty God. But the woman is the glory of the man, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. What angels? The seraphims that were over the mercy seat. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering.
Say, Brother Putnam, we all know this. Well, that's why I want to share this with you again. Because the angel's wings were the covering over the mercy seat. And to this very day, as your and my wife submit herself and submit themselves to God and to us, their own husbands, in keeping their hair uncut, they are literally placing a covering of holiness protection over our families and over our children. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. I can't help it what other people think about all this today. This is not about culture. It is all about, amen, the relationship between God and His church and between a husband and his wife. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Thus, in the analogy, the women represent Christ Jesus in the physical contents of the tabernacle as the weaker vessel or that which is submitted to God's word. But now, let's look at the stronger vessel's responsibility. You see, we have put strong emphasis, gentlemen, upon our woman's responsibility in submitting to the word of God in areas of hair length, not wearing that which pertains to a man, makeup and jewelry and all that stuff. And seemingly we have thought that most of the emphasis in the areas of outward holiness identifiers called standards has been only for the women. But we have not really given heed to the importance of the responsibility of the man. You see, men, as the stronger vessel, you and my responsibility in fulfilling our biblical role is just as important as our wife's long hair and shamefacedness, and that is that you and I are to be the leaders in worship and praise. Some of you didn't get that. I said, you as men, not our ladies. Hey, men, don't be expecting our ladies to do all their part and then try to fill our part in it too. We are to be the ones that are to be the first worshipers and the first praisers unto Almighty God. Brothers, it's just not your wife's job to be the prayer leader in your home. And it's not just the women's job in the church house to be the prayer leaders in the church house. That is the man's job. Brother, it is not your wife's job to be the faithful worship leader in your home. It's your and my responsibility to lead our families. We are to be the king of our home, the prophet of our home, and the priest of our home. Amen. And we are to love our wife even as Christ loves the church. And if I last time I read the book, he was crucified on a cross, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I tell you, brethren, that's the kind of love and that's the kind of worship that we need to be giving to God. Church of the Living God, in these important areas of sacrifice and praise, it's the men that need to be leading the way. Amen. I thank God. I thank God for my wife, and this is just us now, okay? And Brother Schumacher, this is your assembly, and I mean it's God's assembly, but you're the pastor of it. But I thank God. Amen, that my wife, every Sunday morning that I can remember, amen, when we were in Monroe and we were or any place that we were, amen, she fixed, homemade biscuits every Sunday morning. And you know why? Because our kids loved homemade biscuits and syrup and butter. Hey, I didn't get this size just... But you know what? Do you know what happened in our home? Amen. On that Sunday morning, there was an aroma in our house. Amen. We didn't have to beg our kids to get out of bed. Amen. But I'll tell you, it was Dad that went into their bedrooms and said, come on, kids. We get to go to church today. We get to indeed go worship Jesus today. Amen. And with the allurement of that smell of those homemade biscuits, guess what? They were all there on time, and they were all there calling in that they were in attendance. And they were ready to go. Now, I'm not saying our kids were perfect, but what I am saying is I thank God for my wife that indeed has protected us by her outward holiness, her hair. And I thank God that by God's grace that I've tried to lead worship in our household. We don't need any of this weak junk with men. I heard a message one time about an ape in a three-piece suit. But you know what, brethren, we're not apes. We're men of God, Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we need to lead the way. We need to be the first ones out front. Praise God. Now, I'm not saying that ladies can't be there, but I'm saying that we as men need to lead the way. And in this church, it should be the same way. Amen. It should be us men who are the first ones on our feet and clapping our hands and raising our hands. And I've noticed in this church, there are several men that come up front. But bless God, it is the strong men we need up front. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, we're living in an interesting time right now. We're living in an interesting time with indeed all this business about same-sex marriage and all this junk. And I have just a personal feeling how it got to this place. I know there's always been this deviant sin, amen, all the way back in the Bible. But you know what? I guess we shouldn't be too surprised because the Word of God says, as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be at the end of the age. But bless God, I'm telling you, we need some strong men that will be men in this last days. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord. Of course it's important that women also worship and praise God. Just as it's also important for you and I as men to submit ourselves in obeying the principles of outward holiness. But for sure it is our duty. All the men in here say duty. Say it like you mean it. To be leading the way into worship and praise. Please remember, men, the organized singers of the Old Testament were not made of men. They were not made up of men and women. It was strictly men. Men were the praise singers and leaders of worship. Amen. I'm not saying that we need to segregate that now. I'm not saying that. I think it's just high time in the hour in which we're living for the strong men to get back in the front where we belong. No wonder, amen, Daniel wrote, "O man greatly beloved, fear not." The Lord was speaking to him, "Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong." And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. How many of you get strength in the house of God? How many of you get strengthened from the word of God? How many of you get strengthened in worship of God? How many of you have your prayers answered so many times when you got your mind stayed on Jesus? Where was Daniel's strength when his enemies were trying to entrap him? Amen. Did he try to fight them with words and physical maneuvers? No. When the decree was made not to pray or worship, where do we find the strong man? We find him out in front with his windows open, not trying to hide, but trying to be. I tell you, we need men of God today that are not afraid to be men out there in the workplace. Amen. And every other place where we're at. Hello. King Jehoshaphat, when he found himself and all of Israel completely surrounded by the enemy, amen, what does he do? I'll tell you what he does. He gathers, amen. He said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to be to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house." How many knows that God's name is in this house? "And cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." Amen. And you know what he does? He says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's." Hallelujah. And so you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And it was all of the men that were out. Do you see who went out front? It was the strong men, the men who would sing praises. And look at what their subject was. They should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went forth saying, "Praise the Lord." Stand with me tonight. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Somebody ought to say it again. "For his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Men, do you want to see victory in your home and in your life? Ladies, do you want to see, amen, that kind of victory in your home and in your lives? Then, brethren, be a man of prayer and praise and lead your family into worship. Be a worshiper. Lead the way for your family to follow. Because you see, old Slewfoot, the old devil, has tried to tell us that all this worship stuff, well, that's just for over-emotional women. You know us men. Well, we need to kind of just sit back and look dignified and keep our cool. But what did Jesus say? Listen to this. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And what did Jesus say had to happen for a strong man's house to be destroyed? No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. If you have the tendency, bro, to just sit back and let your wife handle the whole thing, you are setting yourself up for the defeat of the enemy. Because you see, for too long, brethren, for too long, amen, men have let Satan bind the strong men from fulfilling their God-given responsibility, while at the same time insisting that their wife live up to theirs. Men, it is time for the strong men to be in the front. And I'm asking every man in this room tonight to get up here the fastest way you can. Amen. Praise God. And I want you to come with your hands lifted up. Amen. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong. Men, it's time that we are leading the way. Young men, it's time that you lead the way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Ladies, wives here tonight, are you glad that your men are up here right now? Amen. Then I want you to come forward and now get beside your husband. Amen. In this room. And I want you to pray together. And I want you to pray, amen, for him, that he be the strong man of worship and praise in your house. And I want men, you to pray for your wife and thank God for her willingness to stand for holiness, amen, and protecting your family as the weaker vessel. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, this could be a very powerful service right now. Brethren, young men, hallelujah, get those antennas in the air. Get those arms up in the air and ask God. God, I'm going to be a worshiper. God, I'm going to be a prayer. God, I'm going to be what you want me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Strong.
Help me to be a strong man.